welcome to the Geek Night In, episode 19. This is a really special episode of the podcast because it's the first time we're recording live in the same room. So it's we have an audience and everything. This is a really surreal thing that we have an audience. That's a really weird thing. Also, first time that Kate and Gemma have been in the same country, so this is, you know, a monumental occasion. Hooray.
There's going to be like crackling on the back, and we're going to hear like weird sounds in tongue. Yeah.
As like the demons come
it's
in.
Just
and
time's going to rip itself apart because you're
basically, we're sorry about that.
We're very sorry that we're chronicling the end of the world here because you
had to be done.
We brought the two of them together.
Sorry, Ragnarok was just going to happen. Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Anyway, yes, we are currently at the Nine Worlds Convention in London, which was a convenient excuse to get Gemma over from
Sweden.
Oh, hooray, we have someone who brought us water.
Room service has arrived.
Podcasting in...
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Podcasting in, like, in, we get to be important now. Hooray, we're celebrity podcasters. Sorry, this is awkward as anything. Anyway, where do we want to start today on the podcast?
It's off. Well, it's my first convention. I'm just pouring my own.
Is this your first convention?
First convention ever.
Yeah. Okay. Should we start with what did you think this was going to be like compared to what it's
and
like?
And then can we do first convention stories?
Okay, we can do first convention.
This is my first convention. I've already been on a panel today that I wasn't supposed to be on a panel, then I did as a favor. I was on the Suffering Sappho panel, and I don't think any of it was recorded, but I will do a quick write-up because, as Tilly will vouch, it basically ended up with us talking about if Steve Rogers had a grinder. That literally occupied about the last 20 minutes of the conversation. And we were, so that was exciting, and I guess that's not necessarily everyone's first experience of their first convention. But it's just, I went to the press day for Nine Worlds with Owen, actually, and I was really overwhelmed by how nice it was, and this has just been that times a million, basically.
I warn you, not every convention is as pleasant and welcoming as this.
I've definitely like been dropped in the very shallow end with my water wings, but then I suppose it's also, this is maybe what other cons should aim to be.
Yeah, like I made a point after coming to this last year that I had some issues at Alcon last year, and I was like, look at what Nine Worlds did. That is a list of how to prevent every issue I had at Alcon.
And like, this is their second year, and there are hundreds of people here, and it's only the first day, and it's a Friday, so obviously some people are
and
at
they're
work.
Not having to resort to offer people an extra hour in the ball pit.
Exactly. I mean, look at how, and I mean, it hasn't, I mean, DashCon, obviously famous DashCon, had, you know, the ability to get everybody on Tumblr, which is, you know, millions of people, and this is Nine Worlds, and I'm really impressed with it so far. Like the pronoun badges and the little badges with communication if you don't really want to talk to anybody or if you really want to talk to people and just little things that make socialising easier as well as, like, I'd like this kind of thing, not just conventions, but just in everyday life.
That would make things so much easier. Just wear a little blue badge, like, please come over and talk to me.
Yeah, then on the tube when you want to read a book, just like a red badge. Yeah. No, mate, not happening. So, yeah, it's been good so far. So
fantastic.
Far.
Do we want to do first convention stories then? It seems like you've got one that you're itching to tell Tilly.
Not really.
Because you were sort of like, oh, can we do it? Can we
no,
do
I
it?
Just thought it'd be fun.
Oh, fair enough. Should I do one then?
Yeah.
Okay.
We had the same first convention, didn't we?
Was it the first?
Is that why you're growing
up? It was MTM Expo. I can't remember if it was the same.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah, we didn't go together, but
we didn't go together, but we were there together.
Yeah, basically my first convention experience was the MTM Expo in London, which, compared to this, is the imagine if you had infinitely more people but not much of a bigger space. So it's people walking around like sardines in a one cramped room that's primarily a room for buying and selling things.
Oh yeah, and there's not as much to do either.
Well, there used to be lots of talks going on, and steadily as the years have gone on, it's the same guests they get recurring every time. Like, there's always the cast of Falling Skies is there, and several shows that they seem to have, like, we've got the cast of that show, we'll just get them back to do talks every year, which is, you know, not brilliant. But at the time, this was when I was sort of maybe just turned 16, I think, and sort of it was heaven to me. This was this place where everyone was in costume, and I only went up and down in one day, but it was just this assault on the geeky senses, I think.
Yeah, it's been a bit, like, overwhelming today, but in a good way.
Definitely. It's like some of the sheen of MCM's gone off for me over the
years. Yeah, Expo's definitely gone.
It's something I go to see people rather than to actually be at the convention now.
I think the Expo that I went to in May, I tolerated it more than enjoyed it. Like, I liked, like, seeing the people that we don't usually see because, you know, they live elsewhere, but you know, the actual event, I was just like...
It's like a very formal, expensive meetup.
Yeah.
Whereas this is like, you've got the formal meetup and the informal meetup.
Here we're sort of struggling to get to all the things we want to be seeing in a day, which is a nice, nice problem to have.
Well, I've never been to MTM Expo or anything. Are they... Because my experience of cons is actually I've gone from what is more generally thought of as a traditional British sci-fi con to this, which is actually a bit broader, which tends to be all panel items. Whereas I've got the impression MCM Expo is a bit more of a... Well, it's an expo, it's more of a...
Yeah,
floor.
It's like it's a mishmash of everything.
Yeah, it tends to be like... It's a very scattershot. Like, you'll have big... Big game publishers will have things that are coming out very soon in big booths that you can go and play a little bit early. Mm. You've got two big stages going on that have... like the same guests that they kind of tend to have like each time around, a couple of small interviews and things. There's some laughing going on the podcast that I don't know what's going on.
Tilly does not like the water.
It's greasy. The water's greasy.
VIP Tilly Kim Kardashian.
You have become such a celebrity so quickly at this convention.
It's oily. It makes my mouth feel weird.
Okay. Oh, goodness.
Maybe it's just because you have like had about 3 hours sleep.
That could be it. Yeah, my mouth just feels weird anyway.
Somebody or two people actually had to take a bus at 3 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, this was side story. We went to bed at 11 p.m., got up at 1 a.m. and had to start traveling and didn't get here till about 9. So
yeah,
it was a fun morning to get here.
Why didn't you get here till about 9?
Because
public transport stories. I can hear you chomping at the bit. Did you not take National Express?
Yeah, we did.
To where?
Someone left our suitcase on the coach. That ate up about an hour.
Okay, you don't want me to start selling podcast stories, do you? Because I will tell people about the first night in our flat.
It's fine. I'm pretty sure everyone knows anyway, so just go ahead.
Podcast story that I've not told yet. Me and Tilly just moved in together, and first night in our new flat, I finish work at gone midnight. It's about 1:30 in the morning. And I've not got keys for the flat yet, so I rang her to say, "Oh yeah, I'm here if you want to let me in." She left the room, locking both of our sets of keys in the room. So she locked us both out at 1:30 in the morning while she's in her pajamas with no shoes on, and we can't get back in.
We went back to my parents' house
and
in the rain
slept at my parents' house because.
So your first night in your new flat.
It was a few. Tilly had a few hours in our new flat, and then we had to go back to my parents because we couldn't get into my flat, into the flat.
Wow, I don't mind. Fun. Like, yeah, I it was like a really stupid thing to do, but it was actually really fun. Like, I enjoyed the walk. Weirdly,
it was an amazing area.
Well, we know the area because we're like 5 minutes away from where you used to live.
Yeah, it's not that far.
So, like,
you to the beach. We need to have another beach.
We're maybe 5 to 10 minutes walk from the beach.
Which beach? We went to the beach.
I'm not going to get too specific about which part of which beach we live really near to. I'm not going to get that specific
because, of course, we all live under the radar and with like amazing secrets.
Like, you're the one that refuses
to tell people what your
Twitter is sometimes.
I'm sorry, but I'm like an international woman of mystery. None of you will... I will erase the memory of my face from all of you before you leave.
Okay. I don't think we asked you yet, Gemma. First convention stories.
Well, mine was PicoCon. Because, like I said, going from, like, traditional sci-fi things, I kind of wonder, has everyone else, like, done, like, PicoCon, Redemption, EasterCon sort of stuff?
I have no idea what that is.
I've heard of EasterCon.
There's lots of no's coming from our audience.
Because EasterCon is the biggest one of them, generally.
It's
held at Easter, funny enough.
And for anyone that doesn't know, what is it?
Well, it's...
For
well,
everyone
I think
in the room,
con,
what
guess.
Is it?
It's, like I say, it's panels mostly attended by authors, and they tend to be more based on science fiction literature rather than multimedia things, because Nine Worlds covers a lot of different tracks that most of these other cons don't. Like Redemption, for example, is mostly Blake 7 and Babylon 5, but they branch out again, so they've got a couple of bits of video games culture and things like that. PicoCon, however, was my first one. That's held in January at a university in London. His name completely escapes me. And basically, it can only hold about 200 people at most, but it's home of the destruction of dodgy merchandise, which is a thing they do on the... I think it used to be one day, it's now 2 days. But at a lunch break, they take, like, really dodgy, tacky Doctor Who merchandise. They used to put it in liquid nitrogen and then smash it with a hammer.
that sounds amazing.
So people can donate dodgy merchandise to this thing. So my first experience was seeing a TARDIS with a load of goop inside it, which actually contained bits of the Doctor's clone bits of anatomy from the episode where there's a cloning tank.
Weird.
And they freeze this in liquid nitrogen and then just like stamp on it.
I think that's quite telling of geeks. We will use any excuse to like blow stuff up,
yeah.
Or douse something. Do you want to douse it in liquid nitrogen? But yeah, right.
The thing, if you douse it in liquid nitrogen, you can claim it's like, oh, it's a science thing. Exactly. It's smart. We're nerds. It's okay with doing
not just like
thing.
Blowing things up. It's like, oh no, this makes perfect sense.
Well, when Shrek 3 came out, I went to see it for my best friend's birthday.
Okay. I think everyone's very curious where the story's going, Tilly.
Liquid nitrogen, Shrek 3.
They had those little the gingerbread man toys at McDonald's, and we made it a mission to destroy all of them. Like, we got
all of them. You could find all of them just
all
in
the,
existence.
All the ones that we had.
Really, get a hobby.
Okay. This was not your way to go into children's homes, steal them, and break them.
No! Monster, do you think I am?
What kind of monster that wants to destroy all of them?
Shut up.
Why did you want to destroy the gingerbread men?
We didn't like them.
What?
They were really cheap and plasticky and they had really creepy voices.
Yeah. Oh, they spoke. Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
No, okay, you're forgiven. That's like Chucky.
Yeah. And we were a little bit like hyped up because we were 13 and full of sugar.
Yeah, we're so much calmer and more mature now. Yeah.
Did you get like a Simpsons moment with Love Day and Sir Hugs-a-Lot being stamped into the bin?
I submerged mine in the bath. No, my pond, not the bath.
That makes it sound like you were. Oh, okay, so I was in it. No, it wasn't the bath, it must have been the pond. Having a little scroll.
I wasn't having a bath in the pond. Let's move on. Let's talk about something else.
I started watching something that I'm very late to the party on this week. Have any of you watched Jonathan Creek?
Yes.
I saw...
Oh, I've watched something on... Yes.
I've seen the...
I've still never seen Orange is the New Black or anything like that, so I can actually talk about that.
Right. I watched the first two-part episode of Jonathan Creek, where he's solving a murder with a magician, and he has his little model diorama of a building that he's made for people to sneak out of.
Yeah.
And I like Jonathan Creek quite
a lot. It's a very weird genre. Because it's got, like... Everyone knows Alan... For anybody who hasn't seen Jonathan Creek, it's Alan Davis as, like, solving mysteries.
Which is not how he's best known these days.
Everyone's like, don't drink the water, it's gross. Alan Davis, like, everybody knows him from QI, is kind of a baffler. And he kind of does play that character a little bit in Jonathan Creek. He's kind of a bumbling, almost like Hugh Laurie type.
Yes.
But I saw they did some Christmas ones with Sheridan Smith.
Yeah, which I felt
I
worked
that.
Okay. Because, I mean, I'm trying to remember, was Caroline Quentin the original? I keep wanting to say assistant. I can't remember who it was originally.
I think so.
Yeah, they changed the assistant and then it kind of didn't work anymore.
Oh, that's a shame.
But Sheridan Smith seemed to fulfill the role. Okay.
I've watched a couple of episodes and I really enjoyed it so far. The only problem I had was it was really slow to get going and to actually introduce either of the two main characters.
It's like mystery, but for like old people.
Well, I've watched maybe the first 20 to 25 minutes and neither of the main characters had shown up yet. And I was sort of getting really bored of the setup because nothing had happened. No crime had been committed yet. And I was like, what's going on? And eventually a crime happened and things started to occur. And I was like, okay, now I can get into this. But I was very tempted to switch it off like 20 minutes in because I was like, I really don't see where this is going. So far it's a lot of people having dinner parties and tense music as if something's going to happen but nothing happens.
It's very like suburban middle class. Mm.
That first double episode really feels like it could have been cut down to a single episode without having lost terribly much. Mm. Like it feels like there's probably an episode's worth of material that could have been cut from that.
We haven't really had many two-parter. Mystery TV, like crime mystery TV.
Well, they all seem to wonder, it always seems to be set somewhere which has stables. Jonathan Creek involves stables and like they'll be wandering around inspecting the horses and then there's a scream from behind there. It's such a trope.
That's also the setup to most gay porn.
I was not aware of that.
Well, I didn't know that.
Oh, come on, that's like a classic.
What, in a stable?
Like, oh, like, so Jonathan Creek.
Have we talked yet about watching Lie to Me?
No, but don't tell me the end of it.
No, I won't.
Anyway. It's a mystery.
Yeah, this is a sort of...
It's sort of like The Mentalist. Do you know what The Mentalist Yeah,
is that the guy with the curly hair?
Yeah.
And he fancies the woman.
Yeah.
It's police procedural drama shows. Like, episodic, it's a different case of the week every episode. But it's one of these ones where there's a gimmick for the main character. And here it is. The main character can really easily tell from looking at someone's face if they're lying or not, but he can't tell what they're lying about.
Isn't that like the dog in Saga?
It's based on Saga.
I think so.
It's based on, like, actual psychology. Like, I did a lot
Very much played up, but...
No.
Well, to the degree to which
you can tell when you're lying. Yeah, exactly.
The degree to which he's, like, can do it is definitely played up. But.
No, not necessarily, because there are people who can do it like that. Like, he's devoted his entire life to it, which is what you do have to do. But we studied some of it when I was at uni, and, like, you know, a lot of the psychology is actually sound. And, like, well, the actors who play the people who are lying do ham it up slightly because they have to make it really obvious so that you can see what's going on. But the psychology itself is actually pretty sound.
Fair enough. It's less problematic than a lot of other shows we've watched recently.
Apart from that one episode.
Do you want to talk about this episode?
Is this an American show?
Yeah,
it's an American show. Do you want to talk about it today?
Basically, it's quite interesting because, like, the episode itself is a really interesting premise. Like, it's this girl with a split personality, and one of her personalities witnesses a murder. And, like, they have the personalities really... the multiple personality disorder. Is that what it's called now?
Yeah.
There's various variations of it.
Yes. Dissociative identity disorder, that's the one. And they do it, like, really well. Like, you know, the origins of it are sound, and the effects of it, and... you know, all that. But then they did, and there's this one personality, the one that actually saw the murder, is called AJ, and he's the one that they need to speak to, but he only comes out when the rest of them feel threatened. So what they do to speak to AJ is they recreate the sexual violence
They think that it's an acceptable way to try and get this personality to present itself out of her is to basically force and attempt to act as if he's attempting rape, and to to hope that will be triggering enough that it will.
When he just yell at her, like, boo,
many other ways they could have handled that plot, and it was just
and it's supposedly okay because they find the guy in the end, and he apologizes first. He's like, "Oh, I'm really sorry about this," and I was like, "Oh, he's gonna shout at her, or like he's gonna physically threaten her," and she's like, "Oh, sorry for what?" And he's like, "Take your clothes off," and I'm like, "What? Stop! Excuse me."
Yeah, it took what was otherwise a really strong episode and was
there
were no consequences for what he did because of the fact that it all worked out in the end, it all worked out in the end. So she said, "Oh no, it's okay. I understand why you had to do it." And it's like, no.
Oh yeah, and she gave him a hug at the end, and she was like, "Oh, thank you for everything."
He attempted to rape you. Don't do that.
Like, that's
weird.
Absolutely awful. Otherwise, it's really nice. It's got, like, a really healthy sort of family relationships. Like, he and his wife are divorced, but they've got a daughter, and he loves his daughter, and his daughter loves him, and they have, like, a proper, like, normal relationship, which, you know, neither she or the mum has been fridged, which is nice.
Yeah.
So, like, unlike The Mentalist, you know, like, it's quite good. I enjoy it. Apart from that one episode,
we lack good mystery on, like, British telly.
Yeah,
because we were talking about this with who was it that came on? Was it Berry Lemonade or something?
Apple Cider.
Yeah, we were talking maybe it was somebody American who came on the pod. We, like, whenever Laura's like, "Oh, we've got someone else on the pod," and I'm like, "Oh, okay," and then this American accent comes out. I'm like, "You didn't tell me."
But they always have the opposite reaction. Why did you bring me into a room full of English people?
Yeah, exactly. But I think we were saying about how you only hear, like, across the pond, either really terrible shows or really good shows. And so at the moment I'm like, "Oh, all of the BBC shows are rubbish," but like all of the good BBC shows go stateside, obviously.
Exactly, like,
we get all of their great shows.
America's view of the BBC is entirely devoted to the fact that they only see
Doctor Who and Sherlock.
Yeah, they see,
which aren't even that great.
Well, not anymore. You see the stuff with the highest production values. Like, you don't see any of the mediocrity. Like, that just doesn't make the...
Like, you never see Emmerdale.
No.
But you do see Emmerdale in Sweden. They have, a prime-time slot. It's all these Yorkshire accents with Swedish subtitles. It's brilliant.
Oh, goodness.
I'm managing to learn, like, the little Swedish I've learned so far, I mean, Ashley can attest to this, is like they get the weirdest British programmes over there. It's quite...
Emmerdale, my mum watches Emmerdale religiously, and I came home after like a weekend in London, and she goes, we were just sat in the car on the way home from the train station, and she goes to me, oh yeah, Belle's in prison now, and I'm like, who's Belle? And she was like, oh, Emmerdale. I'm like, we don't know these people. And she just talks about all these people as if we're friends with them. I'm like, what, Belle's in prison? But
Laura was nearly called Emma.
Yeah, at one point I was almost called Emma, and then there was the realisation I would have been Emma Dale.
Ah!
And that was when my parents changed their mind. There was a moment where they were suggesting various baby names, and Emma Dale was a suggestion.
Yeah, that would
I would have laughed forever. Like,
I don't think you'd be able to take me seriously.
My name's Emma. What's your last name? I want to say.
No, I don't think you'd have been able to take me seriously as a partner.
Of course, her real surname is Kabaz.
Oh yeah, Laura Kabaz.
I did. I went to register for her, and I was stood in the line. And they were like, what name do you need to pick up? And I was like, Laura K. Buzz.
That is her name.
And they were like, my name now.
They were like, do you mean Laura Kate Dale? And I was like, yes.
If you ever get married, you will be Tilly K. Buzz. And your cat will be
Tilly K. Buzz.
I like Tilly K. Buzz.
Oh, that's her name.
I have like a recurring segment for the podcast that I need to bring up again, which is shows that I started watching and really quickly made trans jokes in really early episodes. And my most recent show that has done this is Castle.
And oh, that's the one
with Nathan Fillion.
Is it about castles in any way?
No, it's a guy
his
called Richard Castle. His surname
God's
is Castle.
Sake, that's a cop out.
It is. Without going into plot, because Tilly's about to start watching it, I don't want to ruin anything. But the only two times that trans people come up in the first two seasons of the show are. In episode 8, I think it is, of the first season, they go to a hotel that is specifically described as being a hotel for unusual types of people, at which point you get the typical, like, portrayed as stubbly-faced man in drag walks down the stairs, and they're like, oh, I see what you mean about weird customers here. So that's, like, first time you get any mention of trans characters, and it's, like, the way they do it is they make a point to say it's not a transvestite, this is, like, a transgender person, being very weirdly portrayed. And like I went to Twitter and mentioned this, and they're like, no, that's the only example. Turns out there's another example. Like the second time trans people come up is like early in season 2. There is a thing involving a dominatrix, and they've started going through this murdered dominatrix's files of clients that they were seeing, and you get three examples of nicknames of clients, and it's like unobtrusive nickname, and dirty lady boy.
Oh,
and it's like, please, why is this? Why are you doing this show?
Like horror, like there's that whole idea that horror, like in the beginning, will kill off somebody that society doesn't value very much, like a homeless person. But like, I find that procedural dramas will do that as well, because you have like CSI, and I'm like, I love CSI. Like it goes CSI Las Vegas, CSI Miami, and then like if you're really desperate, CSI New York. But like they have a lot of, you know, they'll always be like, oh, they, you know, we're so edgy, so we're gonna go to like the outskirts of society, and you get like, oh, gay people, like, oh, and like, you know, oh, so and so ran away from home because, you know, they were transgender and now they are dead. And it seems to be like a recurring theme with these kind of
like they're an easy target for pity somehow. It feels like, I mean, it's exploitative, but it's quite exploitative in the way you might think. It's more like, let's pick an easy target for pity and use that as a cheap vehicle.
Like sex. There was a lot, because it's
my mom watches this show. I can't remember what it's called.
I was going to bring this up, and I can't remember what it was called either.
It's a procedural crime drama, but it works backwards. Like it starts with the.
Is it Doctor?
They show you the last moments that someone was seen before they disappeared, and then it's the like the CSI team sort of working backwards from that moment to figure out what made them disappear and like what happened to them.
We've got Kate
and there's
on the case
this
now.
Kate will fix it.
Crime Traveller.
No.
Criminal Minds.
No. Criminal Minds.
It's not Criminal Minds.
I thought it was Criminal Minds.
Without Trace.
That's the one.
Without Trace.
Thank you.
Go Cara. Cara knows what she's on about.
Thanks,
yeah.
Dogs.
But yeah, so And there's this one episode where it's a trans woman who goes missing. And it's sort of, it's one of those ones where they're trying to be inclusive and they're trying to make, humanize this trans character.
I remember this now.
And they just fuck it up. You know? It's like, you could have done really well, but they fall into all these cliches. Like, once they find out that she's trans, they go back to using her old pronouns. And, like, it's a cis woman who... a cis actress who plays the trans woman.
Didn't they do a straight... whole, like, didn't they do, like, the straight swap of the gender?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They did the straight, like... Laura and Lawrence.
Laura to Lawrence. This is a new thing that's happened on Twitter. People that want to troll me have started trying to call me Lawrence, assuming that used to be my name. I'm like, I'm guessing, but...
Is anybody that unimaginative that they just went,
Everyone that writes trans people in media is that unimaginative. They always just flip the gender on names.
And it's like, you know... and the assumption is, because when her wife found out that she was trans, her wife left her. And then... like, the assumption is that she told her new boyfriend what had happened. He stormed out and they assumed he'd killed her. And like, the way it's portrayed is that, like, they're like, well, anyone would understand, you know, she lied to you. And it's like, oh, what? What? No, she fucking didn't.
TV shows that are annoying.
Like, it's because these shows run for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, CSI must have been, like, its 15th, 16th season now.
Yeah.
They did the best episode, can we all agree, was the Quentin Tarantino episode.
I've never seen it, but I'm going to have really to look
good.
It out now.
Really, really good. But they, because they've been going for so long, they're just like, quick, what, you know, scraping the barrel of tropes and things like that. Like, okay, so we've had, like, girl becomes lesbian. We've done the whole... you know, has an affair with the teacher and then the teacher kills him. We've done that like 24 times in the last year. We better pick something else. So yeah, it's just scraping the barrel.
Can I just make a slight side note of something I've only just noticed in the room we're podcasting in that I'm in love with? There's a Welcome to Night Vale poster behind us and an On Air thing that's lit up.
Oh, and a Bloodstone Circle.
And a Bloodstone Circle, exactly.
I
feel really bad for the fact that I didn't start this podcast with Hello and Welcome to Nine Worlds.
And I would have understood that reference.
Golden.
Right. Oh, goodness.
Just do that at the end. Just edit it in and put it at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be seamless,
Yeah, you say that like, you know, editing podcast. That's easy work. No one needs to know.
We have a question from our audience.
We have a question from
just to prove that we do have an audience.
Two minor Orphan Black spoilers, but I'd like your input.
Go ahead.
Orphan Black is basically a show about a woman who finds out that she's a clone, and all the clones are played by the same actress. And in season two, we encounter a clone who's a trans man. Now, the nature of the show has a cis woman playing a trans man. But on the other hand, I read a lot of reactions by transgender men who felt really well represented by this character.
What I will say struck me as different for that specific example and what makes that different from a lot of comparable examples is that this is very specifically a narrative in which this is a... this is a genetic clone of the same person, and I can understand in some regards why having the same person play both the female and male versions of that character, I can understand the reason why that is to be celebrated. The downsides, and something that I have seen come up a lot from people, and something that, like, I've not seen enough of that show to really speak authoritatively on, but is the interesting implication that seems to come from if you've got... a lot of genetic clones of one person that all identify as female, but then one genetic clone of that person that identifies as male, you then get into the, are they inherently making a statement that the fact that that character is trans is something to do with the way they were brought up rather than something inherent about them?
But...
and it seems like they're making a stance about nature versus nurture and its importance in whether people are trans, and I don't know. I've not seen enough of the show to speak authoritatively on that. Like, it's a concern I've seen raised to me, and I can understand where the root of the concern is. It's something
I love
that
people raise concerns to you. It's like, Laura,
I've reached this point where, like, I have enough people on Twitter now that, like, I can shout about stuff and there's enough people who listen, so
Laura
people
is
tell
the
me
auntie.
What to shout about.
Laura is the auntie of Twitter. If there's a problem, Laura will sit you in a room and go, excuse me.
It's
David, you should have said that to you. Sorry, Laura.
Yeah, that whole thing, that's
sorry,
the reason
auntie
why Orphan is the new black. Orphan Black is the next thing on my list of things to start working through, and I'm going to stop Jonathan Creek in order to start watching it, because I know I need to go through it so that, like, I keep being asked what my opinion on it is. It's like, I can understand the benefits to both sides of that portrayal.
But it's opening discourse as well. It's like we were talking about in the Suffering Sappho panel, like, about moving goalposts. Like, we started off, maybe, you know, there has been lots of, 2014, you know, is the year that we no longer need trans, like, rights activists because it's all fixed because of Laverne Cox. But it's like, we had the goalposts. It was like, we literally had zero trans people, and now we have some. So now we're being like, okay, good. Bit more, please. Bit more positive representation. Keep going. Yeah. Come on, you've started.
A little bit more.
And so it's good, I suppose, that these questions are being asked and that there's discourse.
Slight side topic. I know that we're doing a very sort of scattershot show today. No, I'm not quite as
far away. Podcast is not a scattershot.
Oh, I know. Something that Kate wanted to bring up and wasn't here last week. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Why wasn't I here? Because I was supposed to be, and then my sister got married on Saturday.
And you got really drunk.
I got really drunk. I texted or tweeted you like, yeah, I'll podcast. And then it got to about 8:30 and I was like, nah. So I just sat outside and got even drunker.
Oh, it's fine. But yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy, you apparently had thoughts you wanted to share.
Wow. What can I say? Who's seen Guardians of the Galaxy here? Who doesn't want to be spoiled for it? Oh, wow.
Okay. My suggestion, do you want to both leave the room for a moment?
There isn't anything, to be honest, there isn't anything spoiled, just that it was disappointing.
Yeah, that's what we were saying earlier, is that, you know, it's a good movie, you know, it's fine.
It's a great movie, but it's not...
fine as a film, but we've come to expect more from Marvel.
It was no Winter Soldier.
I get the impression it's supposed to be a more fun...
Well, you don't get...
Shit.
Yeah. It's fun, but there's no character development.
It's like, badly written.
Didn't care about any of them.
And Gamora was just
a bunch of them. Something happens to a bunch of them, and I was like, oh.
I think I summed this up.
Happening.
Yeah, I think I summed this up last week. Like, I don't agree with the people that are praising it unanimously as, like, the greatest thing ever. Like, I saw people saying, like, if I was 7 or 8 years old, this would have been my Star Wars. And I'm like, I don't think it would have been.
It was very Star Wars.
It was very Star Wars, but it's not as unanimously, like, it's not as consistently fantastic.
I think it is.
What?
I
don't like Star Wars.
I disagree with you, Laura, because I think the reason that, I mean... I don't know if anybody here was around when Star Wars came out. Certainly not old enough to be, like, that generation. I don't know. People might be old. I don't know. Anyway, I'm, like, 10. But basically, when Star Wars came out, everyone was like, this is the most amazing thing ever. It ain't that good. Like, but, like, Guardians of the Galaxy, it's the same thing. And this is why I set up the agenda. Because if you read a review of it in Empire magazine, if you read a review in Total Film, in SFX, even stuff like... Well, probably not Geek Syndicate, but, you know, Comic Book Resources. Yeah. They'll go crazy for it. They will absolutely, like, cream themselves over it. And it's like, they want that. A, that, you know, the bigger ones, they want that access, and they want to continue having access to Marvel Studios. But also, it's just like, it was like the Avengers. It's so highly anticipated. Tilly is dying. Are you okay?
I'm trying to do it quietly.
It's okay. Do you want us to wait while you die? Is it the gross water?
It's disgusting.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, go.
Okay. Yeah, my general thoughts on Guardians of the Galaxy is that it had a really strong latter half once it had managed to establish its characters to a reasonable degree. Once it had, like, focused on the character interactions over the... action scenes, and once it was starting to tie the set pieces into feeling sort of more like they were an important part of the plot, I guess. Like, in my opinion, that first half of the film, with the exception of the opening scene, which even then was rushed when
it
the
was
ending
fun,
happens,
though.
But yeah, it's like
it was good fun. Yeah, I love.
Why was Angelina Jolie in it?
Was she?
His mom totally like Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, basically that first half of the film is completely rushed. It didn't have enough time to flesh those characters out. It was for the sake of action at times.
The entire thing was style over substance.
Yeah.
But because it's so hyped, like everybody has said, it didn't live up to the hype.
My expectations for movies and books and any media that I consume is character development. Like, I'm a very character-driven person. If your characters don't drive your plot, then I'm not interested.
And they didn't.
And they didn't, you know? I didn't grow to care about any of them, you know? I didn't really know them. I don't know why Gamora loved...
Yeah. What was that about?
Like, she's just like, oh, I love you. And it's like, why?
It was just like, let's push these two... It's kind of like... in the X-Men movies, Logan and Jean Grey. Jean Grey is literally like, I don't like you. And Logan's like, yeah. I'm going to cry for 3 movies because of our love. And then Cyclops is like, no, I'm dating Jean Grey. And Logan is like, me and Jean Grey will never be together. And Jean Grey's like, what the hell? We like looked at each other for 5 minutes. And it was like that. It was like Gamora.
Yeah, I didn't root for them. It was like the second the two of them are on screen together, it's like, yep. Yeah.
I ship Gamora with Gamora.
You beat me to my comparison, which is X-Men, which it's the difference between the Avengers and, say, the first of the like trilogy of X-Men films.
Avengers was shit. Sorry.
Okay, let me make my point. I'm not necessarily saying that Avengers is the best film ever. What I'm saying is that Avengers had a series of films to run up to really get into this is who these characters are, so that when you jump into a big ensemble cast film, you don't have to waste time like
Gamora
setting
film.
Up.
We should have
this
Gamora
is
film.
This is the point: is that you like with the X? The problem with the X-Men and where it like fails compared to something like the Avengers is that you are trying to rush an entire cast of characterization into one film and build up this big sort of climactic plot and all those other things. And again, that's the problem that Guardians of the Galaxy had: is it's the same problem as X-Men, is it's trying to do too much,
it's
too
lazy
quickly.
As it's, well, it's like just, you know, he was a boy, she was a girl. Can I make it any more obvious?
Exactly.
Cracking tune. But it was like, oh, we'll just like put them together. It was like,
yeah.
Come on,
it's like that's a boy, that's a girl.
Exactly. No,
yeah,
I think
that,
you're right.
There's a lot of rush stuff in that first half of the film. Like, I disagree with, and I would say that like the latter half of that film, I think, builds up to an exciting enough set piece that is built up with enough interesting bits of dialogue that I was definitely along for the ride and very much enjoying what I saw.
I think the final act was on par with Avengers, the Battle for Manhattan, and the helicarriers above.
Well,
but
yes.
It wasn't better.
I don't know what you thought, but maybe it's just because I'm getting older as well, and like these movies aren't like
getting older.
No, but you know what I mean. Like, there's only so many plots that a movie can have, and you sort of get used to them. And I just found Guardians of the Galaxy completely predictable.
Yeah,
you know?
Oh,
it was
yeah,
like
definitely.
Every step he's making, yeah. I was like, yeah, I called that like 10 steps ago. Mm-hmm. You know, and
yeah.
It's like,
basically,
oh, look, that's happened.
Ruined all
that's
of your,
a shocker.
You're going to go to the cinema
yeah.
and be like, I can't wait to watch Guardians of the Galaxy, and now you're just going to be like,
well, here's
whoa,
the thing.
Whoa,
I would whoa. Rather I would rather you go in with mediocre expectations
it.
And enjoy it than. Go in expecting something that's the build up of like Avengers style build up,
yeah,
and not get that.
Well, actually, what I understand from the hype surrounding Guardians of the Galaxy is that a lot of people started with expecting nothing because people were like, "Who are the Guardians of the Galaxy?" and Marvel themselves
yeah.
played it up,
mm-hmm.
which got turned into a thing like, "Oh, if Marvel can make this work, they can make anything work." And that state of mind got it super hyped.
Mm. Well, I think early reviews from people that like went in not knowing what to expect and were pleasantly surprised built this into, like, there were very few early complaints in the pre-release reviews and that sort of thing, and it's very easy to take a series of reviews that don't have terribly heavy criticisms, look at the last big ensemble cast film that Marvel did of the Avengers, and assume that this is going to be their new Avengers. And from the looks of it, like, it has been a really big financial success for them. It's been a huge thing for them, but it's not been as... I say it's not been as critically well-received. I would rather rewatch Guardians of the Galaxy than I would Avengers. I'm not
yeah,
saying that Guardians of the Galaxy is a better film.
Avengers. No, I think...
like
Avengers A, I've seen it, like, 600
Avengers
times.
Plays
the only reason I would rather watch the Avengers is because it's got Captain America in it.
Damn, girl, I'm with you on that one.
Okay.
And, yeah, Black Widow, there's just... everyone's a lot more attractive in... Avengers, and also Captain
America. Oh no, Zoe Saldana! You know how I feel about Zoe Saldana.
What?
Yeah.
Who is she?
Gamora.
Oh.
who the fuck is this? Like,
no, I mean I know.
Out.
I know
a terrible
who she is.
Yeah, what the hell? You came to my house. We hung out
together.
I know you do this. I know who she is. I just don't know who she is in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay. She is green,
but yeah. She's still sexy.
But I don't know. I don't think she's that sexy. But let's move
I
on.
I think she is. But my
why are you both off?
Am I not allowed to say that?
Huh? No.
Oh God. And Zoe Saldana is a queen.
I know she's kind of hot. Not as hot as you, obviously, but...
No, you're in a domestic... I am a new fictional lesbian couple.
Oh, fine.
New fictional favourite gay couple.
My point I was going to make is that the Avengers played very straight. Once you've seen it once, I don't feel like there's much to get out of a repeat. Like,
if you... It's... On your eighth watch, you will just be like, none of this makes any
exactly.
sense.
Like, the Guardians of the Galaxy is tongue-in-cheek enough that I imagine I could more happily enjoy rewatching it. And just, like, enjoy the... Like, it's stupid, but I can just enjoy the ride.
I didn't quite enjoy
Are you disillusioned enough yet?
Not quite. I mean, I think I've had it built up so much that on par, like, it's kind of even.
You're
so
now
going to
come in with an
ad. Okay.
I'll go in and be my own judge, maybe.
I'm going to stop us here for a little bit, because this is where we're going to do, like, surprise thing that got teased at the beginning of the podcast, that there's a present for someone from one of our listeners. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Hooray, do you want to introduce yourself to the podcast?
Oh dear. Hello, listeners. My name's Al, also known as Ed Bettisberger on Twitter. I like puns. And I have a gift for Kate. Because people always accuse Kate of being a fake geek girl. So she now has a Game Boy to improve her geek cred.
Thank you so much. I've been shown this earlier. It has it's been modified so that when you turn it on with the switch up the top.
How does it work?
Like, just flick that switch. The screen lights up, which normally they don't light up, so you can play it in the dark.
Oh,
Pokemon Yellow.
I've never played Pokemon before.
We are going to do this. You've got to play Pokemon, and we're going to trade because I have a different Pokemon game we can trade.
Oh, thank you. I have to go and get an hour and a half. That's
hooray.
So sweet of you.
So, hooray, we have a podcast present. That was an exciting thing
thank
we had
you
to
you
do.
Thank you so much. Last time, I need to see you more often because last time I saw you, you gave me like comments, like this many comments, which is a lot, as you cannot see on the microphone.
This is now best friend of the podcast.
Yeah, it's like every time I see him, it's like, who do you want some presents?
Anyway,
oh,
I'm thinking we've got about 15 minutes before we have to wrap up. I wanted to see if, like, hey, does anyone that's here have any geeky things that they want to discuss and come join the podcast to talk about? Anyone have anything? Everyone's looking very shy.
Do you know what I'm like?
Oh, come on. Owen, what do you want to talk about?
Well, it's kind of 2 points, and it's I am Owen. This is actually the most people that might listen to anything I've ever done. Well, the first point is I kind of wanted to enter the Guardians of the Galaxy discussion.
Okay.
Because I feel like I completely agree with what everyone's saying, like both sides. But there was a point where I didn't rate Captain America, Winter Soldier, is everybody else? I didn't. Because,
now Owen is leaving.
Because
get off the podcast.
Because every time, like,
when
I watched it, I'm thinking, this should be a Black Widow movie.
Yeah, every time I was watching it,
everything about it was
That's true, however.
Like for me.
Then you wouldn't have so much of Captain America there.
Yeah,
true,
every time I was
but
watching
then
it.
Also, I feel like they could have brought, like, if they did a Black Widow movie, they could have brought in Winter Soldier and then be like, oh, it's Figgy, and then go,
I think they could have reversed it. Like, it would have been really good if they'd done a Black Widow movie first, and then have her interactions with the Winter Soldier. Like, with I'm assuming everyone knows who the Winter Soldier is, right? I'm not going to spoil it for anyone. Yeah. Okay. So we go through and we talk about how the Black Widow knows Kate, right? And you know, we go through her past and we dig up some of her personality and stuff, and then we have, you know, the Winter Soldier, which is focusing
but
on Steve, and then
you erased Natasha's past. And I wrote an article about it for, I think I wrote an article about it for the Geek Agenda, and then I wrote an article about it for Movie Pilot, and then
Movie Pilot
and I literally got the most horrific comments about how I was like a bitch. So I was like, but it was a rubbish article as well, so I was like, oh, I didn't even try. But basically, it's like, black, everyone's like, oh, Marvel's so feminist because it's got some women in it. Well, first of all, this Guardians of the Galaxy is the first time they've had a female writer, and it's the first time they've had a woman of colour, so I don't think we can be
and
shouting.
She's green.
And she's green, and she's like fridged every 5 minutes, and yeah, she's not well written. But
she doesn't really do anything.
Exactly. And but I think with Black Widow, she's a very, I mean, I'm not a big fan of Scarlett Johansson, but Black Widow's character is just one of the best origin stories in terms of Soviet Russia, and they just were like,
my whole point when I came out of that film is like, on a similar topic, is I came out thinking, goodness, I really want to see an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. film. I wanted to see a big
mother agent, better than a TV like, show.
That's
yeah.
the beginning of that film. I just went around feeling like I feel like I should be watching a Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
TV show should have either been a film or should have been like a 6-episode.
That's the thing. I would have rather less content but of a higher like
production.
Like,
what the hell happened with that show? We have such fire.
I tried to watch it.
R.I.P.
Similar to Guardians of the Galaxy, I still and Castle even that was on my list to watch, and now I'm just like, oh,
don't bother with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. though.
I think I could genuinely sit and rip Guardians of the Galaxy to bits for hours.
I think we should wait until it comes out for legal means. And yeah, just maybe have a podcast where, or we could do like a
director. We could do a film commentary. This is something we haven't done.
We should sit in the same room and watch the film, and then just be like, "Oh, fuck off."
I feel like I should introduce my point now to this.
Right, Chris Evans' butt.
Good point. No, but there was like a particular moment in there when I was just watching it, and it's a bit of a spoiler, but it's not really a major spoiler, was when they were heading towards seeing Karen Gillan's character just come out and make this monologue. And now, I'm a wrestling fan, so I know about Dave Bautista, and I know him playing Drax, who my favorite Marvel character, like, probably the cinematic universe, and he just shoots him a rocket launcher. And he just cut off, like, that gag, and I'm just watching it. I'm like, I freaking love movies. Because, like, I know Batista, I've watched him, like, in wrestling.
He was amazing.
I watch him in wrestling, and I've seen him, like, progress from this, like, asshole face that they really wanted to make a heel, and then turn into this really douchebag heel. And then, like, just having him blow up.
Stop hitting the table.
Sorry.
He gets picked up in my
hands. Yeah, I apologize, sorry. I'm just really excited about it. No, it's just that point where I'm saying, like, he's blowing up the former, like, assistant to Doctor Who with a rocket launcher. I'm like, oh, I freaking love cinema.
When does that happen?
Like, that's nearer before the big Gamora thingy fight scene.
I liked Karen Gillan in it. I thought she was...
Was she the blue one?
Yeah.
she was green. She was blue.
To be fair, she was much more disguised. Like, I initially didn't realise that was Karen Gillan.
Yeah, I never realised it was Karen Gillan. And yeah, I never... I love Zoe Saldana, so I don't understand why I didn't recognize her.
You're backtracking on that one. I love Zoe Saldana. Zoe Saldana's my favourite. Please don't hate me.
No, no, sorry.
No, I really liked her in Star Trek, okay? She was great in Star Trek. And in everything else she's ever done, she was amazing. And I just...
Thank you. And she's amazing, and she should be president of the universe. Okay. Well done.
No, Kate should be president of the universe, but, you know, she can be your deputy.
What do you want?
I just want to get really drunk after the podcast, and I wear some drinking buddies.
Okay,
I just had to bring that up. And the second thing, and I'm not quite sure if this is the right appropriate discussion board, like, I haven't been able to listen, Laura, to your discussion with Total Biscuit.
Okay.
Because, and I was thinking about, and I wanted to speak to you about this. I don't know if you saw the response interview from JonTron.
I'm aware of it. I haven't seen it. I've heard a lot about the tone of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was it Nora being the mum of the internet again?
Right,
like,
yeah.
Stuff out.
I'll summarise this. No. This happened since we last podcasted. Long story short, internet video content person JonTron, who makes videos about video games and sort of essentially does reviews on YouTube for video games, in sort of a bit of a persona, made a joke on Twitter in which he compared the PlayStation 4 and its service PlayStation Now and described it as retarded. And basically used retarded as a synonym for bad, undesirable.
Silly.
Like, in the same way that people use, like, oh, that's so gay, and that sort of context. And by itself, you could, like, there were literal interpretations of the word retarded when you take its scientific meaning that you could have applied directly to that. Now, where the problem came in was someone complained to him quite politely on Twitter and was like, look, I think you probably shouldn't have said that. Like, you're using it as a synonym for bad. That's not, like, it's not a good, sensible thing to do.
We're not fine.
And his response to this person on Twitter was, oh, I forgot that you're blank too. And at this point, it's like, oh, you've specifically called out a person and described them as retarded. And that's like, that is not a good thing you should be doing. So,
we've talked about this hundreds of times, how it's not necessarily what someone does, but it's then how they react to being called out on it.
Yeah.
And that can either fix it completely or make it
up. Yeah. Where this kind of gets worse is that whole him calling a person that as well was missed over by this internet personality called Total Biscuit, who's a very prominent video game streamer who and sort of internet person. And he'd only seen this joke, and he was very quick to jump to the defense of this joke and to say, look, don't, like, stop being all social justice warriors about it. He said a thing that was literally, by definition, was correct. And, like, obviously, like, he had missed the context of, yes, but he also followed that up by calling a person retarded, which means that you're, you know, you can't argue that you're not using it as a derogatory term at that point. You're no longer describing it as slow to develop the set of functions of a machine. And basically the internet got very angry. I ended up having a conversation with Total Biscuit, which didn't come about in the best of ways. I did a bit of a Twitter rant about it, at which point there were accusations going around that I was harassing him. I was like, no, I'm pointing out, like, trying to do this in a way that I'm not going to get people blasting me with all the, like, things that I'm failing to observe. So ended up having a really nice conversation with Total Biscuit about this, in which he acknowledges that with the context of the later thing, that, like, he was in the wrong, like, he was specifically in the wrong to call, to use that word towards a person, and sort of that does entirely change the context of the original joke that was made. There's a lot of stuff, like, he couldn't publicly criticize John Trump because they're on the same YouTube network and he's contractually obligated not to, was the thing that came out in this interview, which was interesting thing. But weird. Like, long story short, he says he was going to go talk to JonTron about this, and JonTron did an interview with someone else. Like, I'm a bit disappointed it wasn't me, because this all, like, the whole JonTron being spoken to thing happened through me talking to Total Biscuit. So this is like, this should have been my interview.
It was a very one-sided like,
but somebody, like, basically offer him a chance to
but it was more like that the interviewer was stating pretty obviously that everyone else was in the wrong. It's like, are you really surprised by this reaction? It's like, no, people are dumb.
Long story short, as I understand it, Total Biscuit brought my concerns to JonTron, who did not want to have the kind of open, frank discussion that I had had with Total Biscuit, and didn't want to do the acceptance of where fault lay that would have been required to do that interview. What he instead did was did an interview with someone who was a very big fan, from what I can tell, that had been for a long time trying to get an interview, and was obviously very eager to get an interview. From a bit of digging, this seems like he finally gave so-and-so the interview, at which point it is very much an interview from someone that was going in with the angle of wanting to say, JonTron's in the right, he wasn't in the wrong, nothing, blah blah blah. So his interview is a non-apology, and I'm not going to raise this further. Like, he knows the complaints that have been made. I can't do anything more. I would love to interview him at some point and to personally one-to-one explain my issues and to be like, do you really not see the problems with what you did there? But that whole situation.
Yeah, like, I didn't want to make it a big thing. Yeah, I just kind
it's
of.
Fair enough. I'm disappointed in the way that he addressed that. Like, I gave him a platform to have a very open discussion, and lots of people on Twitter have been very actively saying, like, really applauding how me and Total Biscuit handled our interview, and being like, look, this is how two people disagree. Like,
we couldn't even handle that one woman. He would have been raging. Yeah.
Me and Tilly are angry.
We're
angry and unforgiving. And Laura is the auntie of
Twitter. I kept getting people tweeting me being like, oh yeah, this is how reasonable discourse between two people who disagree should happen on Twitter. I was like, yeah, go me.
Yeah, me
but
and Tilly were
I'm
not.
I'm disappointed that that's not how JonTron wanted to resolve it, unfortunately. But
yeah, you were definitely,
The thing with me, we were just making about the whole JonTron situation is, like, I'm actually a genuine fan of his. Like, yeah, his reviews have a really
quirky
sense.
He's an incredibly intelligent person, yeah. And it's a real shame to see his work muddied by something like this, because...
He's
more intelligent. He's a more intelligent media critic than me, and I for a long time, aspired to be as good of an on-video and on sort of, like, verbal personality at critiquing media as he is. And it's a real shame when someone that you sort of idolise like that and sort of aspire to work towards is unwilling to have a frank discussion about
particularly considering
like the groundwork I laid with Total Biscuit. I was hoping would have been the point to be like, look, here is an example of what this interview will be like. Look, I'm not attacking him, I'm not going to attack you, I'm just trying to have a reasonable discussion off of Twitter about this.
Basically, me and Talisha know about why did you do that? You're wrong.
What made you think that was okay? Did you not even think for a second that nobody gives a shit about your shitty opinion? This is about some...
We would literally be like...
Okay, we've got 5 minutes. Do you really want to... Do you want to really quickly tell us this story?
We won't say it on the podcast. We'll talk about something else. We'll tell you afterwards.
We've got to be wrapping up in a second, because there's another podcast, I believe, right after ours that's going to be in very quickly soon. So anyway, we're going to do a little bit of wrapping up. Thank you everyone that has listened to the podcast this week, and particularly thank you to everyone that's in the room. Hooray! Thank you to everyone. Particular special shout outs that I forgot to make at the beginning that are important ones to make. Aisling, who's here, who did the podcast music.
My name is Aisling.
I'm sorry, I always pronounce your name wrong. I've done this on podcast before.
I've tried teaching
her,
but
I said Aisling. I'm really sorry. I always pronounce it wrong. I'm so sorry.
Aisling and I both live in Stockholm, but we hadn't met for like a couple of months until yesterday. So I just went thing.
Anyway, sorry. Aisling, who did the music for the podcast. So hooray, thank you for coming. Woo, thank you for giving us free music, that's really helpful. We have no budget. thank you to everyone else that's been here. It's been absolutely lovely. Thank you to Mostly Bees.
Only some of the bees.
Who are we thanking?
Mostly bees.
We should probably do self-promotion. So Tilly, where can we find you on the internet?
At Gathering Tilly.
Fantastic.
On Twitter.
Fantastic. Kate, where can we find you or your work if you don't want to tell us where to find you?
The internet. My personal Twitter, where I generally just rant about comic books, is @whatkatie_did.
Hooray. Gemma, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find my vines of trains and stuff lately, I guess, at Ray Gungoff.
We need to talk about vines next week.
Yeah, okay, we'll talk about vines. Okay. I'm at Laura K. Buzz on Twitter. You can find the podcast at The Geek Night In. You can find us on iTunes and stuff. Podcast, hooray, woo, bye, thank you.